All right, I'm getting ahead of myself there. This is Alaska 737. You can tell a 737 by the engines there. On a 737, the engine is a little flat on the bottom. You notice that there? On an Airbus, the same model, the engine is perfectly around. So that's how you know it's a 737. But when I look at this 737, I can see it's a little bit different and it's a little bit older. The reason why I can tell it's a little bit older, even with the paint job that it has, and that's a nice paint job. Alaska really does a good job with their paint jobs, right? When you're at the airport, don't you see them taxiing by and you're like, man, is that a bear on the back of that airplane? Yes, that's a bear. But the reason why you can tell that this is an older 737 is because of the end of the wing right there. It's missing something from the 737s of today. Now, this is an Alaska 737, and they have old ones and they have new ones. This is a United 737. They've pretty much phased out all of their old 737s. You'll notice on this one, there's something different. There's called a winglet. A winglet is something that goes at the end there, and it changes the way that the air flows over the wing. Now, in the first picture, it didn't have a winglet. In this picture, it does have a winglet. Guess what both of the airplanes are called? 737s. They didn't change the name. They just tweaked a little bit what was going on with the airplane. And guess what? They kept the same name, and they think that it's the same airplane. So some people do. A lot of people look at it and say, oh, it's the same airplane, but really, it's a different airplane. You've been seeing in the news recently with the 737 almost dropping out of the sky, right? They changed everything about that airplane, but kept the same name. It's been devastating. Airplanes have just been crashing. Don't worry, we're in good hands next week. But airplanes have just been crashing. They've been falling out of the sky, and a lot of people are trying to figure out why. The FAA and the NTSB has done a lot of work on it and figured out why to the most part. But what they say is, oh, well, it's the same airplane. No, it's not the same airplane. When you change a small detail, when you change something that really matters, even though it's kind of small, it makes a big difference. In the case of an airplane, it could be devastating, or people do it all the time with a whole bunch of stuff. We're used to that in our society, right? We're kind of like a pick'em society. I can change this, but really it doesn't change the real meaning of something. The truth is, when you put winglets on an airplane, it completely changes the way that the wing functions. But they still call it a 737. Church, my message is serious about this. In society, we're used to doing just this. We're used to taking a small detail out and still thinking that it's the same thing. We're used to taking something that is meant to be pure and holy and supposed to stand on its own as the gospel, and the world has started to make it to be something completely different. That's what we're going to talk about that today. What makes a different gospel different? Galatians 1, 6, and 7. It's really important because if we don't pay attention to the small details, it could be a different gospel, as Paul would put in Galatians 1 there. We as Christians ought to know the small details. We shouldn't be tricked or bamboozled by somebody slipping in a line or changing something and then peddling it for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes with characteristics. It comes with things that you know it's the gospel. It comes with a lot of those things, and we're going to talk about it. Before we get too deep into what makes a different gospel different, we have to even talk about what is the gospel, and the gospel is the good news. I've said it before. I've said it a lot. It is the good news, the news that's able to save souls. That's the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, they were baptized, men and women alike. That's the good news. Like you've been getting some bad news the whole week. Like you've been going through a whole bunch of stuff. The town is doing bad. The taxes are high. Politicians are corrupt. Everything's bad. And then somebody comes and drops off a newspaper on your porch like they used to in the day, and it says, good news. That's what the gospel should be like to us. It should be some, like you're going to hear in Georgia, some show enough good news. We should look at it like that. We should embrace it like that. We shouldn't look at it as, oh, well, if this is just the gospel, this is just Jesus Christ and his words. No, we should look at it like, man, what great news I have. This is some soul-saving information, and we should change the way that we look at it if we don't look at it like that. The good news has some characteristics. I'll give you one. It comes from the authority of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's how you know it's the good news, because it's been approved by God. Anybody else out there peddling something, saying this is that and that is this, we need to know that all scripture comes from God, and it is basically approved when it says God-breathed. He approved it. That's really important to remember. Because if you talk to somebody, and we're talking about moving forward as an evangelistic congregation, we need to know the difference between what God said and what the world is out there saying. And even on that note, even though the scripture is approved, Christ Jesus, that's who the gospel is about in the first place. Christ Jesus and all the things that he's doing, telling us about the good news. And when you talk about Christ Jesus, you know that Christ Jesus was approved by God as well. When he was being baptized, the scripture says, "This is my beloved son, to which I am well pleased." The word got approval from God. Christ Jesus got the approval from God. These are characteristics that you won't see about something that's not of God. It's important. I know it may sound basic, and we probably talk about this a lot, but these are fundamental facts that if we can't build on this, then we can't get further down the road and start dealing with false doctrines. We got to be able to build on what's the truth. What does the Bible actually say? And all of this is talking about Christ Jesus and his teachings. That's what the gospel is. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, Jesus talks about being the salt of the earth, the light of the world. People hadn't heard this kind of talk when Jesus was talking like this. People were looking at him like, what? This is Jesus saying some things that are completely changing people's lives. His teachings is what made this gospel what it is. Could you imagine having the gospel without Jesus actually teaching the things that he taught? What kind of a gospel would that be if Jesus didn't come out and say, this is exactly what you're supposed to do, and this is exactly how you're supposed to live your life? How else would we know that if Jesus didn't come here and say it? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how good of a news this is, that there would be no other way for us to know it unless Jesus the Christ just came down here and plainly told us what was going on? That is some good news, my brothers and sisters. That is some wonderful news that he cared enough about us and cared enough about mankind that he would come down here and reveal that stuff. And even with his teachings, another thing that's so remarkable about Christ Jesus and his gospel is his divine power. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, just without even thinking about it, stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Who else can do this? This gospel is proven. It's authentic. It comes from God. It's of Christ Jesus. That's what makes the gospel the gospel. Unique characteristics that no or anything else does not have. That's what sets the gospel apart. We got to understand that. We got to get the basics of that. I'm not saying that we don't have it, but it's good for these simple things to be ingrained in our head so that when we do start to read things that are contrary to the gospel, they'll stick out. What makes a different gospel different? I'll tell you what else. Another characteristic of the gospel of Jesus Christ is he has the authority, his rule, his power. All power has been given to me on heaven and on earth, he says. He has every bit of the power. Christ Jesus does. Now that's a gospel. A gospel that's been approved by God, a gospel that has the teachings of Christ, demonstrates his divine power, his rule. That is a gospel. We need to know that, church. We need to understand that. We need to wrestle with that a little bit. I urge you to walk away from this lesson not just saying, "Oh, well, I know what the gospel is." I urge you to walk away from here knowing the details of the gospel. That's what sets us apart from the so-called gospel folks out there who don't even know what the gospel says, and they're peddling stuff that's completely not true. If we're going to be Christ followers, his disciples, we need to be true disciples of Christ and understand his teachings. A disciple merely means a devoted follower and learner of Christ. So if we're going to call ourselves that, then let's know the details about this. Let's understand exactly what's going on when we talk about the gospel of Christ. What other message do you know that carries with it salvation? Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. This is some good stuff. I love it. I want to eat it up. I want it all the time. I just want this gospel. Please give me more of this gospel. What other thing do you know that can do that? I don't know anything else can do that. We're going to talk about taking some of these parts out, and does that make it the gospel? We'll talk about that in a minute. And another thing that we should know, by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, is the gift of God. This grace is a big deal to understand what God is doing here. Our faith is a big deal to understand our requirements in this whole gospel ordeal. It's important to understand what God's role is. It's important to understand what our role is. It's important to understand how all of it fits together so that we can actually be followers of Christ, and so that we can actually go and get the reward based off of the approved word that he's told us in the Bible. All of it goes back to the authority. That's what I was talking about, building that foundation. We start with the authority. What did he say? What can we get from that? All the teachings that he said. And when we get to our salvation, it's not like we just made it up like so many folks have done today. It's based off of something. And that's the authority of God. It all comes from him. We ought to remember that. We ought to understand that. Now, we've spent some time talking about what is the gospel, but the name of the lesson is what makes a different gospel different. I'm going to talk about that for a minute. I couldn't talk about a different gospel unless I talked about the true and authentic gospel first. What makes a different gospel different? Well, first thing is, the gospel of Christ is all based about him and his resurrection. You don't have his resurrection, you don't have a gospel. The prophet saying, hey, this Christ is going to be raised up. Imagine if he didn't get raised up. Would we have a gospel? Would we be able to believe in the divine power of Christ if he couldn't overcome the grave? See, all these things we should be looking at as proof. We want to be an evangelistic congregation, want to be evangelistic people. Let's start thinking about the proof that we can present when we start having these conversations with people. The proof is all over the Bible. Everything that God did and everything that Jesus did was to show us the proof that he is who he is. Amen? Different gospel. This is a good question to ask. What makes a different gospel different? I wrestled with it for a little bit. But the world is sneaky. Again, nobody wakes up out of their bed, church, and says, I want to be fooled today. I want somebody to just have their way with me. I want somebody to just completely just run me into the devil. I want somebody to make my life think it's one thing and it actually be something else. Nobody wakes up and says that. So if that's the case, then we got to understand that the devil is tricky. That's the case, we got to understand that there are some things, if we're not equipped, we're going to fall victim to. Amen? What makes a different gospel different? Faith only. Here's a teaching. Faith only. All the thing you got to do is just have faith in Christ. Somebody starts teaching that, it's a different gospel. Because that sure ain't what the Bible says. Faith only, faith only, faith only. That's all you got to do. Have faith only. Just believe. Just all you got to do is believe everything's going to be okay. Faith alone will not save. James 2:24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Doesn't get any clearer than that. When somebody starts going and saying, oh, well, the only thing you got to do is just, you know, have faith in God, James 2:24 is a great place to take them. It just doesn't work like that. Where you just say, oh, well, you know, all I got to do is have faith. I don't have to do anything to demonstrate my faith. All I got to do is just have faith. What I'm telling you is everybody claims that they have faith. Everybody claims that they're just looking up at God and saying, I believe in it. If that's the case, then we can just all believe our way to heaven. There's no reason to go pick up this Bible and let this word transform us like it said it was going to do. Amen? We got to know that. We got to understand that. We got to understand when somebody says that that's not what Jesus said, that is a different gospel. Reformed theology, that book that Chad was mentioning today by a guy by the name of Mr. Sproul. He wrote this book, and I was reading before I gave the chat. I ordered this book, and it's not even on my reading list, you know, in the curriculum for preacher school. But I saw it. I said, I just want to understand what this Reformed theology is. It caught my eye because when you reform theology, the study of God, that means that it was broke if you got to reform it. So I was like, what are they reforming here? Let me go get this book and understand what this guy's having to say. And you want to know what he's teaching? Faith only. He says he goes and speaks to colleges and goes and speaks to these different huge congregations, and he tells them the only thing you got to do is have faith only. That book, over 100,000 copies sold. People are eating it up, church. Oh, all you got to do is just have faith. All you got to do is just ask Jesus into your heart. And they say that real soft when they say that. Ask Jesus into your heart. That's not what the Bible teaches. We got to know what this gospel says. We're not going to be out there talking to Christian folk. We're going to be out there talking to folks who are convinced that this is the truth. We got to know different. We got to know that faith only doesn't just, that's just not going to cut it. We got to be able to prove that with the authority of the scriptures that God gave us. That's what we're going to have to do. Just ask Jesus into your heart. I was talking to a guy one time. He says, hey, you're up here telling me about the Bible. He said, as a matter of fact, you're up here talking about the Bible. You're saying, you know, the scripture says this. I'm going to knock you off your socks. What about the guy hanging on the cross? What about that guy? I got you right there, buddy. That's what he said. It's like, do you know what the gospel is? Let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about all of it in its entirety, in context. And then we can have that. We got to start with the authority. Just like I started today with you, with the authority of God and how everything is laid out. If you just want to start in the middle with folks, that ain't going to work because they don't even believe that the Bible is what it is. We got to have tools that show them that the Bible is what it is. Things like the fundamentals of faith. Things like big picture of the Bible that go in and say, you know what? God's word is God's word. If you don't believe that, we can't even have a conversation. We got to get there first. Reformed theology. Faith alone has major problems. Like, ask Jesus into your heart. What about conduct, though? If it's faith alone, what about your conduct? Is that just do whatever you want to do? You don't have to do anything that goes along with what the Bible says. All you got to do is have faith. Major, major problem. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Pretty clear. There's no getting around that. That God is going to judge us by what we have done. It does not say that he's going to judge us by the amount of faith that we have in our heart. He says, I'm going to judge you for your deeds. You won't see that in that book, Reformed Theology. It doesn't talk about that at all. We got to know that, though. We got to know that it's not matters of your faith only. It's matters of what you do with your heart. We have to know that. What about the heart? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Good passage. Saying you got to work on something. Wait a minute, I got to transform my mind, renewing my mind there, be transformed. That's saying something more than faith. Where's that coming from? Understanding the Bible in its totality is what's missing with all of this different gospel. Folks claim to know it, and they're just picking parts out. We'll talk about that. What about works-only gospel? What about that? But somebody says, I'm just going to work my way all the way there. It's a form of self-righteousness, church. If you feel like, or anybody feels like, they can just wake up one day and decide they're going to work on this and work on that, that is a form of self-righteousness. Where is the dependence on God the Creator who made us in our image, Genesis 1:26? He made us, so therefore we should be able to do what he says to do. If we're going to just wake up and work our way there, well, you know, let me tell you. I'm just going to do whatever I need to do. I'm going to make myself feel good to get to where I need to go. That's a different gospel. That's not what I read in the Bible. It's totally different. The Bible is so clear about these things, it's not even funny. This work-only thing is just, and you see it all over the place. You see people doing things that just doesn't make any sense. Oh, I'm just going to go work. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to help all these people. I mean, and let me tell you, there are people who spend almost every hour of the day out there trying to give and do this and so on and so forth. And that's great. That's wonderful. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, Have your faith that goes along with it too. You just can't work your way there by yourself. And you surely cannot. You surely cannot decide which works you're going to do. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is this. Visit orphans and widows in their distress. God is laying out what kind of works we need to have. When we have our faith, he's telling us this is what that's going to look like. You don't just get to go and do things on our own. What good is that going to do? And I know it sounds like this is simple stuff, but when people are out there peddling lies, it really is simple if you know the truth. The truth will set us free from all that stuff. All these folks out there saying this and saying that, it will set all of us free. We won't have to worry about that. We have to understand exactly what is going on here. Feeling good just does not work. You know how many times I've talked to somebody about Christ and the only thing they say is, I'm doing this because it makes me and my family feel good. All the time. Last week I was talking to a guy. We go to this church because it makes me and my kids feel good. Well, if that is the criteria, then there's a whole bunch of other things you can do besides going to church that'll make you feel good. Let's just be honest about it. You don't need to go to church to feel good. I can list a gazillion different things that make somebody feel good without going to church. You know, the drug addict says, you know what? When I feel real good when I do that. What's the difference then? If it's all about feel good, what is the difference? We ought to know that. We ought to be able to separate that thing. We need to be able to back up from the emotion. Galatians 2:16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. See, the Bible teaches about a perfect harmony that the world will tell you that you'll never be able to get to. It's a perfect harmony that we got to have with this grace and faith. We got to be able to have some grace, trusting in God that he's going to do his part. And we got to have our faith as well, knowing that we have a part to play in this whole soul-saving business. Amen? Imagine trying to do something and take some of the ingredients out and all of that. You just can't do that. We can't do that. That's a different gospel. Remember that. That is a different gospel. That does not come from God. And then I want you to sometimes think about following it all the back to the beginning, all the way back. Sounds simple, but it's good to do this. Somebody says something about God, I want you to say first, can I go find it in the Bible? Is it approved by God? Just those simple questions. Can I go find it in the Bible? You know, what bothers me about this is that people are talking about salvation as if it's something that we're only going to do for 100 years and then it's going to be over. Or 200 years, and then it's going to be over. It's for all of eternity. So our job is, as Christians, to know the truth, to have some sincerity in our voice when we talk to these folks about it. Say, hey, that's, you know what? I get it. You don't want it? That's fine. But your decision is going to be with you for all of eternity. And I don't care enough about you to let you know that this stuff that you're out there believing is not the truth. That's not the gospel that's in the Bible. That's caring. That's love. Don't want to talk about a different gospel? That's not love to let somebody go down the road and know full well that they're headed for destruction. That's not love, church. Love is telling them, hey, there's danger there. I'm concerned about you. I need to know it, and I don't care if we fall out about it. I'm going to tell you. Amen? That's love. Seeking the favor of men is not a gospel as well. You see that a lot, too, especially when it comes down to mega churches. I remember going to a church once where I was younger. I probably was 9, 10. I was probably Zachary's age, and I was going to a church, and come to find out it was Creflo Dollar's church in Atlanta. And you're not going to believe it. Well, you probably will. After the services, there was a line of people that waited hours just to have a word with Creflo Dollar, this mega preacher. And I'm standing there like, Unc, because I was with my uncle on summer vacation. I'm hungry. Who is this guy that we have to meet? And they're like, oh, well, you know, he says this, he says that, he, Creflo, Creflo, Mr. Dollar, Mr. Dollar. And now I look back on it, I'm like, you ain't got to wait in line to read the Bible. Just go pick up the Bible and read it. You don't have to wait in line to do that. These people are waiting in line to hear from this man. Shouldn't be seeking the favor of man. We should be doing what Jesus has to say. And he will come out and say something wise and all this, and they go on and be like, oh, I talked to Creflo Dollar. That is ridiculous. We ought to be able to call a spade a spade. The only person that we should be looking at like that is Christ Jesus our Lord, who went to the grave on our behalf. Now that deserves us standing in line for. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak out not as pleasing men, but God who examines our heart. There's no way, just no way that we should be trying our best to please man. Man's going to let us down every time. Every time. Man's going to let us down. I have to go meet with Chad once a week. He lets me down all the time. I'm joking. Sometimes, I'm just joking. He's a good man. But seriously, man is going to let you down. Don't seek the favor of men. Just focus on Christ Jesus. I made a promise to myself for the rest of my time that I preach, that God gives me breath in my body, that I'm going to preach Christ Jesus. I'm going to preach everything that Christ Jesus did for us. I'm going to preach everything that he went through for us. And I'm going to always point back to Christ Jesus, because he's the only one that deserves to have some glory and some praise. Besides the Father, he's the only one that deserves it. Everybody else is just there. But I'm telling you, if I'm going to snuggle up to somebody, it's going to be Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what we got to do. That's what I'm going to focus on. Oh, and that passage, by the way, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4. Chad was going to write that down if I didn't put that up there. He's going to say, you read that scripture and you didn't give the reference? Where's the ruler? And then it would have been wrestling in his office. What about leaving parts out of the gospel? Is that a gospel if we leave parts out? If we just say, well, you know what? We don't have to do all of it. See, people are sneaky. People think that they could just leave parts out and say, oh, well, you know, that's good. No, you can't leave parts out. Then it's not the gospel. You can't just take a part out. What good is that going to do? That makes no sense. Sinners must repent, Acts 2:38. That's in there. If you don't have to repent, then that's not a gospel. Only one way, through Christ Jesus, John 14:6. If somebody's teaching another way, like we were talking about in Bible class this morning, and somebody's saying, well, there's another way. Just go this way. Like Chad was talking in his lesson there. If you're sitting on the fence, straddling the fence there, that's not the way that Christ Jesus was saying here. There's only one way, that's through Christ Jesus. If we leave that out, that's not the gospel. That may work in other things. You may be able to change and put a winglet on an airplane and still call it 737. Great, that's fine. But you cannot do that with the approved word of God. He didn't give us the authority to do so. As mankind, we don't have the right. Apart from Christ, there's no salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. People want to go about, oh, I want to be close to God. I want to be close to God. They don't mention Christ. Somebody's doing that or teaching something like that. That is not of Christ. That is not the gospel. But here's the deal. Here's the truth about all of it. Paul says, which is really not another. When he goes to that Galatians 1, 6-7, he talks about it. He says, I marvel that you turn away from the gospel. He says, which is really not another. It's a really important point, because what he's saying is there is that's not another gospel. Just because you change something and call it a gospel and you think it's a gospel, there's no such thing as another gospel. He's saying that they're peddling false teachings. There's no two gospels. That just doesn't go. He's saying they're absolutely peddling false teachings. God only approved one gospel. So how can we say there's another gospel? Somebody's saying, you know what? They changed some stuff, and that's another gospel. It's an oxymoron. There's only one good news, only one Jesus, only one Spirit, only one God. Another gospel? It's not. It's wrong. It's false teachings. It's a lie, is what it is when we start saying another gospel. We're getting ready to close. 2 Timothy 4 and 3. If you don't mind, could you turn there to 2 Timothy 4 and 3? If you don't want to turn there, I'll read it. 2 Timothy verse 4 and 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. If that ain't reformed theology, if that ain't somebody saying that you can have faith only, if that ain't somebody saying that you can have works only, I don't know what is. That just paints the clear picture right there. Wolf in sheep's clothes, a lot of this stuff is. Come on, I got three things I want to say here before we get out of here. When you see Methodism up there, somebody saying I'm a Methodist, and then we start thinking in my mind, oh, that's another gospel. I don't want you to think that's another gospel. I want you to think what Paul said in Galatians 1, 6, and 7 there, which is really not another, and I want you to think that's false teachings. That's what I want you to say. I don't want you to say, oh, well, that's, you know, they're just a Methodist and that's a different gospel. Don't say that. Paul says, which is really not another. Say, that's false teachings. When you see Catholicism and somebody says, well, you know, I'm a Catholic and you know, this is a different way or we're thinking in our mind this is a different gospel. Don't think that. Think that's false teachings. There is no different gospel. It's only one. If it doesn't fall into the category of gospel, it falls into the category of false teachings. See, Jehovah's Witnesses are like, well, you know what? Let me tell you about this gospel I know. Don't think that. Don't take that. Don't digest that. Don't eat that. Say, again, that's false teachings. You don't have to go to them and say that, but it's good to know that when we start to evangelize and we start to go and talk to folks about Christ Jesus. We have to have these things internal. When you're put on the spot talking to somebody about Christ, and trust me, I know what you have been practicing, what you know, what you're comfortable with is going to come out. And if we have these things internal to us, if we understand exactly what the Bible says and what the gospel is, then we will be in good shape when it comes down to our salvation as well as teaching the gospel to others. When we say gospel, there's only one. There's not a secondary. If we need another gospel, that means that the first one failed. And I can tell you, church, that Christ Jesus didn't fail. The Mormons may say that, but he didn't fail. The Mormons say, oh, well, he failed. That is false teachings. I want you to know that we have a one true living God. We have a son that came and died for our sins. They did not fail, but they are living, and Jesus is on the throne today. That's what we need to know. That's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to believe. Amen? Take away from this lesson, there is no different gospel. It's either the gospel or what? False teachings. So, if you're a Christian here today, and this has kind of been vague territory for you, you kind of have slipped off that path. Maybe you didn't understand all of this. Maybe you hadn't studied it enough. Maybe you feel guilty for that. Whatever the case may be, just trust to know that Christ is standing there saying, it's okay. I died for your sins. I welcome you back. And if you're not a Christian, get away from the world and obey the one gospel. You don't want to have false teachings. You want to have the teachings that are approved by God. The only teachings that are going to save your soul. Believe, confess, repent, and be baptized and live a Christian life. That's what the Bible says. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.